मुकाम करोति वाचालम् पंगुम लंघायते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the lame scale mountain and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. Jnana Vijnana Yoga. The way of realization. In this chapter, Krishna described the nature of God. In the first six chapters, he described the nature of human beings. And in this chapter and next five chapters, he will describe the real nature of God. Who is he? We have various conceptions of God. Sometimes we think God is personal, God is impersonal, God is father, God is mother, God is cosmic principle. We have various conceptions of God. The name of this chapter is Jnana Vijnana Yoga. Jnana means knowledge, Vijnana means experience, realization. Krishna already mentioned in verse 3, Bahunam Janmanam, no, Manushyanam Shahusreshu Kuschit Jatuti Siddhai. Thousands of people are trying to experience God. And among these thousands, only one or two succeed. It is very difficult to know God fully, wholly, totally. Why? Because most of the people are deluded by Maya. You will have to transcend Maya, which is very difficult. Now, Krishna is going to tell us about this world where we live in. You must scrutinize the world. You must find out the matter and the spirit. Krishna says, Bhumi rapo analo mayu khang mano buddhiri vacha ahankara iti amme bhinna prakritir ashtadha. I shall tell you my eight kinds of nature, prakriti. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, reason, and ego. Such is the eightfold division of my nature. It is apara prakriti. And in the next verse, Krishna says the para prakriti, the supreme nature. Apareyam iti stuanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yaidam dharjati jagat. This is my lower nature, but different from it, no, O mighty Arjuna, my higher nature, the indwelling spirit by which the universe is sustained. Now we shall discuss these two prakritis or two natures of God. One is supreme nature, another is lower nature. According to Vedanta philosophy, individual beings and this universe grows, this perceptible universe evolved from consciousness. Consciousness is the substratum of the whole creation. Matter cannot create matter, because it has no desire. This table has no desire. It cannot create table. A tree. Vishwami, we see the tree also can create fruits. You see the tree creates fruit, you know. The consciousness behind the tree is responsible for the creation of the fruit. If there is a dead branch of a tree, the dead branch cannot create any fruit. Only the live ones can create fruit. The Shankas say, why? We see the cows eat fodder and give milk. So matter comes from matter. Milk comes from fodder, from grass. Vedanta says, no. Without conscious principle, no creation is possible. No creation is possible without consciousness. According to Shankar philosophy, these two things are going parallel, Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha is the enjoyer, according to Shankar, but not according to Vedanta. And Prakriti is made of three gunas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Before creation, these three gunas remain equilibrium. Sattva is there, goodness, Rajas, activity, Tamas, dullness, inertia. These three principles are there, these three gunas. And here is the Purusha, conscious principle. Due to the vicinity of the Purusha, this Prakriti, this guna starts to agitate. Why? Nobody knows. It is the Shakti of the Purusha. Can you explain that here is a magnet, here is a pin? Why the pin is attracted by the magnet? Can you explain? No. The nature of the magnet is to attract. So the nature of this Brahman or consciousness or Purusha is to bring life to every being, to every matter in this world. That is its nature. It makes everything conscious. The moment you come in contact with this conscious principle, you will be lively. The moment you are away from this conscious principle, you are dead. So consciousness is the substratum of whole creation, according to Shankar, according to Vedanta. Man and nature, both are there, subject and object. Both are in this world. The whole universe can be divided into these two groups, subject, object, matter, spirit. Now, the subject is the Jivatma, Purusha, and object is the world. Whatever you see in this world is nothing but object. Even this body is an object. These sense organs are objects. The mind is an object. Only subject is consciousness, Purusha, which is within all of us. Now the Shankar philosophers divided these principles into 24 categories. How the creation started. How the creation began. You see, as I said, from Prakriti, first evolution is Mahatattva, cosmic intelligence. With Purusha, this conscious principle, reflects on the Prakriti, Maya, and the whole principle, whole Prakriti, nature, becomes conscious. That is called intelligent principle. Mahatattva, cosmic intelligence. And from that cosmic intelligence comes Ahamtattva, ego. From ego comes mind. And five organs of action and five organs of knowledge. Then comes five tanmatras. Then from the same ego comes five gross elements. Five tanmatras, five gross elements, five organs of actions, 5 organs of knowledge. 20, mind, ego, mahatattva, cosmic intelligence, and prakriti. These are the 24 principles. Whatever you see in this world are nothing but those 24 principles. But consciousness, spirit, is different, is apart from these matter. This body is nothing but matter. This principle of Purusha and Prakriti is very confusing. You see, here is the self, here is the not self. The Western philosophers try to explain these two things. They were thinking the self, not self. They are two. But actually they are not two, they are same principle. They evolve from same consciousness. But Swami, we see two. Matter is different, consciousness is different. Spirit and matter are different. You see it, but in the final analysis, this matter dissolves into consciousness. At the time of Samadhi, at the time of supreme experience, you will get the experience of only one, not two. Kasminno bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati idi. O teacher, could you teach me, knowing which everything can be known? If you know one, you know everything. You see, take it from another standpoint. If you know one heart, you know all hearts of human beings. If you know the function of one kidney or liver or stomach, you know all stomachs, all kidneys, all livers in the world function in the same way. The American heart, Russian heart, African heart, Asian heart, Japanese heart, the hearts, all hearts function in the same way. So all human beings, whatever you see, are nothing but those 5 elements. I'm talking about bodies, human bodies, nothing but 5 elements. You see, Vedanta wants to generalize first, and then he will put that thing on yourself. Look who you are. Are you that matter or the spirit? This name and form are continuously changing. It is just like a change of car. You bought Oldsmobile, next you bought a Toyota, next you bought some other car. But you are changing the car, but it is the same car. So you are changing the bodies. You know, whereas the function of this body is over, I shall take another body. We believe in reincarnation. So the bodies are changing. Matter is constantly changing. But one thing never changes, that is the spirit, the Atman, consciousness. That is the real nature of all human beings. So Krishna says, you know, Arjuna, see this para prakriti and my apara prakriti, both evolved from me. Purusha, here Krishna mentioned jiva, individual soul, individual consciousness. And prakriti is nature, primordial nature, matter. They both evolved from me. Who is me? Krishna. Who is Krishna? Here Krishna is Purushottama, the Supreme Self, that Brahman. From me, this conscious beings, whatever you see, movable, conscious beings, and immovable nature, both evolved from me. Some schools of philosophy think that these are two separate principles, matter and spirit. Some school thinks that one changes into other and the other changes into another. Some schools think that both evolve from the same source. According to Gita, this Purusha and Prakriti are not two separate principles. Both evolve from the Supreme God. Try to see that God. You see the movement of the hands of the watch. But we do not see there is a wheel. Tick, 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 that wheel is rotating. And that wheel is rotating by the power of the spring. That spring and that wheel are invisible. But the hands of the clock or watch are rotating. That we see. Those two things are manifested. But the two other things are unmanifested. That is Brahman. That power behind the watch is Brahman. If that spring cut, the hands will not move, the wheel will not rotate. That spring, that consciousness is Brahman, which is behind, hidden. God needs both prakriti, para prakriti, opera prakriti. He needs the matter, he needs the spirit, both. A bird needs both wings to fly. If both wings are cut, the bird cannot fly. So God cannot function, Brahman cannot function without Maya. And Maya is lifeless without Brahman. Both are complementary. We watch ourselves, that is our ego consciousness, individual self. And we watch non-self, body, mind, organism. But we do not know our real self, the Atman. Many philosophers got confused because they could not ascertain that Supreme Self, which is hidden, which is at the background. They tried to analyze through reason, through intellect, and at last they found that non-self, that self, individual self, human beings, individual consciousness. They found out these two things, but they did not know that who are beyond these two things, who are behind these two things, that is Supreme Self, pure consciousness. That is the Atman, that is Brahman. Let us discuss this verse of the Gita. Bhumi rapo analo vayu khang mano buddhireva cha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtvata. Krishna says, look, bhumi, the earth, water, fire, air, space, mind, intellect and ego. These are my eight prakriti, opera prakriti, matter. You see, according to Vedanta, this matter does not exist. It is Brahman. But we see matter, we see variety. Vedanta says, it is because you have not known that pure consciousness which is beyond this nature. You see two moons, two stars, two cars, if you have glaucoma in your eyes. But if your eyes are correct, good, you see one moon, one sun, one car. Vedanta says, you see variety because you are ignorant. Your mind is covered by that Maya, by ignorance. Remove that ignorance, you will see only one. This table, chair, this wooden rostrum, everything is Brahman. But we do not see. We see variety, man, woman, tiger, lion, buffalo, cat, dog. We see variety. Vedanta says, behind this knowledge of duality, variety, your ignorance. Remove that ignorance, you will see one. This is the position of Vedanta. Apare iyam itastu ennam prakritim vidhi me param arjuna e mahabaho. Know my apara prakriti, but try to know my para prakriti, supreme prakriti. That is a jiva bhutam, anavachinna chaitanyam. Prakriti mam atma bhutam me param prakrishtan jiva kshetra lakshanam pranadharana nimitta bhutam hi mahabaho. Look at my consciousness. That is my para prakriti. You may ask Swami, what is the use of knowing this prakriti? If you know you are in Maya, you are bound, you are in bondage, you will try to get rid of Maya. That is the only reason the philosophers discuss this matter, scrutinizes the world. Look where you are living. Are you free? Or you are bound? Check yourself. So Krishna is trying to depict the picture of the world where you are living. He said, actually I exist. But do you live in me or you live in the world? If you live in the world, you live in my prakriti, in my nature, which is matter, which will hypnotize you, which will bring forgetfulness of your real nature. But if you live in me, in pure God consciousness, you will be free. What do you want? For that reason, Krishna is describing this nature. You know where you are. Etat yonini bhutani sarvani tupadharaya aham krishna jagata prabhava pralayostatha. Know that these two form the womb of all beings. I am the origin of the entire universe, also its dissolution. A birth, death, whatever you may say, I am behind everything. I am the origin and I am the point of dissolution. Birth and death are like a rising wave and, you know, going down that wave. When a wave rises in the ocean and again goes down and dissolves, again that wave is not visible, again that wave rises. In this way we find that same wave is moving. Birth and death also in the same we are rotating on that cosmic consciousness. We are always with God. We always live in God, but we do not know. Sri Ramakrishna said, God in all men, but all men are not in God. All human beings are established in God consciousness, but human beings do not know. If you read the scripture, if you meditate, you will understand where you are and where you should be. Etat yonini bhutani. In Taittiriya Upanishad, we read a mantra. Anandadheva khallimani bhutani jayante, anandena jatani jivanti, ananda prayanta visambishanti. From bliss evolved. This world evolves, this manifested universe evolves from the bliss, stays in bliss, remains in bliss, and merges into bliss. That bliss is the substratum of the whole creation. That bliss is Brahman. The creation, preservation, destruction are all the play of Maya, play of the gunas. These gunas play over cosmic consciousness. Without cosmic consciousness, the gunas cannot play. The gunas, this power of agitation, is not possible without cosmic consciousness. As I told you many times, a shatva, rajva, tama, three gunas are there. When raja jumps on the shatva, a activity is here. When raja jumps on the shatva, shattic creation, good creation evolves. When this Raja jumps on the Tamas, Tamasic creation, bad creation evolves. So everything depends upon your focus. In which way you will focus your activity, your Rajas. That is the main thing in spiritual life. If your Rajas jumps on Shatta, good creation, your mind will go toward God. If your Raja jumps on the Tamas, bad creation will evolve. Your mind will go down. So it is the play of the gunas. It is the leela of God. Aham krishnasya jagata prabhava pralayostatha. You think, Arjuna, that I am a human being, I was born from such and such parents. That is not my real nature. My real nature is, I am the source of creation, preservation and destruction. Matta parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam prautam sutre maniganaiva. There exists nothing, whatever higher than I am. O Dhananjaya, all is strung on me as a row of gems on a thread. This verse is very beautiful. Matta parataram na unyat. Apart from me, there is nothing else exists. A jeev jagod, the vast universe, galaxy, ocean, this vast world, human beings, animal beings, birds, trees, whatever you see, are not apart from me. I am in everything. Everything is in me. Mai sarvam idam prautam sutre maniganaiva. Mai, in me, sarvam idam prautam, whatever you see in this world are strung with me. As you find, the pearls are connected with the string. So all these things are connected with my consciousness. You see, when we think of Krishna's or God's this cosmic form, we get dizzy. You will find Arjuna will get dizzy in chapter 11. When Krishna will show him that cosmic form of God, he will say, please, please withdraw your form. I cannot stand. You see, we are human beings. Our intellects have limitation. So when we see the vast something, we simply lose ourselves. Vastness. I remember when I was going to Badrinath in the Himalayas. When we stopped a place and I stood at the foothill of that vast mountain. I think that peak must be a couple of thousand feet high. And I stood there and I was watching myself. How small I am compared to that vast mountain. Sutre maniganaiva. It is a beautiful expression. And all these pearls are connected with the string. So all this universe, whatever you see, stars, moon, sun, human beings, trees, plants, animals, all are connected with my God consciousness. You know, it seems to me that it is a very hopeful word, you know. We may forget God, but at the same time we can think this way. Krishna said that, Sutre Maniganaiva, I am also connected with Krishna. I am also connected with God. He himself said, Sutre Maniganaiva, I am never devoid of God consciousness. I am there. I may be forgetful time to time, doesn't matter. Swami, if we see that every God is in every human being, then why there is so much variety? Human beings are also of various kinds. Sri Ramakrishna said, sure, that same consciousness is in every being, but there is a difference of manifestation. The consciousness is in the tiny little ant and the same consciousness is in the big elephant. There is no difference of consciousness. But the tiny little ant also is trying to save its life. But there is a difference of manifestation. The vast elephant, strong built, the body of the elephant is so powerful. But tiny little ant, it is also crawling with its four little feet. And that big elephant is also walking with his four big feet. Both are conscious beings. See the power, difference of power. The same, all human beings are not the same. in some beings you will find tremendous manifestation of consciousness. They are unselfish, they are pure, they are invincible. And some human beings, how you will find, are so narrow, so bigoted, so helpless, so weak. But all are human beings. This is the beauty of Vedanta. Vedanta does not say that everything is equal in the relative plane. In absolute plane, Vedanta believes that the only spirit alone exists, that Brahman alone exists, one, unity, that pure consciousness, that is there in absolute plane when you merge into samadhi. In the relative plane, there is different. There is man, woman, weak, strong, good, bad. There are variety, but not in the absolute standpoint. And Vedanta says that each one has a power to manifest this divinity. If you get favorable atmosphere, favorable situation, help, this weak person can manifest himself. That potentiality is there. Sutrei Maniganaiva. Let me discuss this thing from another standpoint. According to Vedanta philosophy, human beings have three bodies, three states. It has gross body, which is made from gross elements. It has a subtle body, which is made of 17 limbs, subtle body. Those limbs are five organs of action, five organs of knowledge, five pranas, mind and intellect. These 17 limbs constitute the subtle body, which reincarnates. That is called jiva, individual soul. These 17 limbs associated with consciousness is called jiva, individual soul. Then we have causal body. What is causal body? Ignorance and consciousness combined is called causal body. When we are in the waking state, we experience through the gross body. In dream state, we experience through the subtle body. And in deep sleep, we experience through the causal body. In deep sleep, you may say, Swami, in deep sleep we do not experience, we experience. We do not know. When you are sleeping, a thief entered your house and stole everything. And next morning you got up and you said, a thief came and I slept so well that he took away my everything. That I slept well, that knowledge was there. You do not know. So, in deep sleep also, we get experience of ignorance. We get experience of the bliss of ignorance. Ignorance is bliss, we sometimes say, that bliss we enjoy at the time of deep sleep. Shutre Moniganaiva. Do you know what Krishna mentioned here? Shutra. Shutra means thread. Actually, the word is thread. You make a garland. Through flowers, you take one flower and you tuck it, and in this way you make a garland. So this thread is the common factor. The thread and flower both are not different. Krishna says, I am the pure consciousness which is behind. He was just giving an example. As the thread holds all these tiny flowers or pearls, so I hold all these beings. Without me, nothing can exist. I am the existence behind whole creation. This pure consciousness is the substratum of everything. I told you that one monk told me about Shandhi. He gave a beautiful example. Between two pearls, you who watch minutely, you will find a little thread. But the thread is not visible from a distance. You see a pearl necklace. But who is holding the pearls, you do not know. So if you watch minutely, if you find that between those pearls, there is a little thread. Then you go to the next junction, there you will find the same thing. You go to the next junction, you will find the same thing. At last you come to this conclusion, there is a thread behind this pearl necklace, though it is not visible. This is called shondhi. Do you know what does it mean? You are thinking. Constantly you are thinking. The thought waves are passing by constantly. So these thoughts are not possible without consciousness. So behind these thoughts, two thoughts, there is pure consciousness, the thread, which is holding all these thought currents. And that consciousness is called chaitanya, vritti. They call it chaitanya vritti, meaning this vritti, these thought waves are functioning or moving over the mind because the consciousness behind. Try to watch this consciousness. When you are thinking, when sitting in meditation, you are thinking about food, you are thinking about your room, you are thinking about your clothing, you are thinking about the body, you are thinking about the church, you are thinking about your study, you are thinking about the class. All these thoughts, individual thoughts, are coming one after another. But in between these two thoughts, you will find there is a link. Otherwise, that church thought and food thought and cloth thought and body thought and brain thought, all these thoughts are different. But all these thoughts are connected with that consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any connection. Who will connect them? Consciousness is working, functioning behind. He said that sometimes meditate and watch when the thoughts are not functioning. You know, your mind is so calm, quiet, serene. There is no thought in your mind. You will see your own consciousness. You will experience your own consciousness. You will get the glimpse of your own Atman. In meditation, what are you doing in meditation? You are trying to stop other thoughts you are trying to focus your mind on the chosen ideal. Huh? It may be personal God, it may be impersonal Atman. You are trying to focus on that and you are trying to stop non-Atman thoughts. Krishna says that I am that consciousness which is holding this jiva and jagat, these individual beings and the universe. The day we take to meditation, we begin the long process of breaking through our obsessive identification with the body. At first, this may produce a cry of protest. The senses will complain that they are being starved. The body will tell us that all the fun has gone out of life. The mind will complain that it is restless and does not want to quiet down. It is like trying to train a dog when you have always let him chase cars, sleep on the couch and run about freely all night. In the spiritual life, it is essentially important, you know, to take right food, right rest, right kind of things. One of the noticeable benefits of meditation is the growing capacity to turn a deaf ear to the clamor of the senses when they demand wrong food, cigarettes, alcohol, or other things to which they have become addicted. When we have a great purpose that we are eager to achieve and the powerful tool of meditation with which to achieve it, it is only a matter of time before even the most tenacious addiction will lose its power over us. Hundreds of people who have been meditating with us have given up smoking, drinking and drugging. I don't criticize them when they come to me and I don't insist that they change their ways in order to start meditating. I know that once they take to meditation, these old habits will get up and leave of their own accord. because in meditation we gradually lose our obsessive identification with the body, senses and mind. Then he said, this commentator made some very beautiful remarks about life. Hindu and Buddhist spiritual psychology accounts for this by pointing out that the mind is no less a part of Prakriti than matter is. Thoughts are things, even though we cannot hold them in our hands or see them with our eyes. This is very different from our usual view. Usually, we consider thoughts as immaterial. So, we are not aware of how a fleeting thought can affect us. If I throw a beach ball at you, it won't hurt much. In 5 minutes, you will have forgotten about it. But if I say something harsh to you, you will not be able to forget that thought. You will take it home in your mind, have nightmares about it, and wake up oppressed and the next morning. We all know from personal experience how a harsh comment from a parent or a friend can rankle in our consciousness for years. This is the immense power of thoughts. He was taking that you know human nature, how it works, the mystery of human nature. These verses are the preview of what to come in the following chapters. Sri Krishna is stirring up Arjuna's love for him. Until finally, in chapters 11 and 12, Arjuna will beg to see the Lord's real nature and be united with him forever. You know, in the final analysis, we shall find that God alone exists. We are His instruments. We don't have separate existence apart from God. We always live in God, but we do not know it. The mystics know that flower, the tree is also worshipping God with its flowers. The trees are also worshipping that cosmic God with fruits. All human beings are worshipping the same Lord in their own way. But Swami, we see a man is killing, destroying these things. Are they also gods? Yes, they are also gods. They are obeying the destructive aspect of God. It is hard to believe this, how it goes. The man who is making an atom bomb, he is also God. But Swami, it is hard to believe. You may, it is hard to believe it is true, but this is the truth. Who gave the idea to manufacture atom bomb? Same God. And the same God is trying to protect human beings. A destructive force and constructive force. These two forces are constantly working in this world. These two forces are within you, within me. They are constantly struggling, fighting within us. Your good tendencies and bad tendencies, they are always for fighting within. Who will win? All these tendencies, good tendencies and bad tendencies, both are coming from the same God. You know, Vedanta will open your understanding in a very cosmic level. You are hurting a person, at least you are hurting yourself. You are hurting God. One day, a devotee came to Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Adbhutananda was a little rude to that devotee. And that devotee was very much hurt. He left Dakshineshwar. Sri Ramakrishna came to know about it. Next day he sent his attendant, Swami Adbhutananda, to that devotee and asked him to apologize. So this young disciple of Sri Ramakrishna went to the devotee's house and, you know, apologized. Please forgive me. I made mistake yesterday. I hurt you. Please forgive me. Then he came back, you know, 4 miles walking. He came back to Dakshineshwar again. Then Sri Ramakrishna asked him, did you give my pranam to him, my homage to him? No, sir. You again go back and tell him that I apologized. I also am sending my pranam, my salutation to you. Then again Swami Adbhutananda had to go another 4 miles. And again he went to the devotee's house. And devotee said, again you are back? Yes, master again has sent me because I did not give his salutation to you. Then the devotee burst into tears. Then when he came back, Sri Ramakrishna said, now it is gone. You see, people come here for peace, for joy. And if they come here, and if they go, if they leave this place with pain, it hurts me. It will tarnish my, it is very bad for me. A soul came to take help from me and I could not help. And they carried pain from me. And you boys are living with me. And they will think that what type of teacher is this? What type of training he is giving to his disciples? That they hurt people. And they got, the disciples, young disciples got such a lesson from the master. They never became harsh to anybody. People come here for a little peace, for a little joy. And if they leave this place with tears, which is unbearable for me. And you people, boys, are living with me. You are my disciples. What type of training you are getting from me? They got such a lesson from Sri Ramakrishna. All right, do you have any questions? See, human beings are evolved from the evolution process you are talking about. You see, both theories are there. Vedantic theory of creation is, there is a mantra in the Upanishad. Tasmat vai tasmat atmano akasha sambhuta akashat vayu vayu ragni agni rapa adva prithivi prithivyam oshadaya oshadibha anna mannat purusha. From that cosmic consciousness, that pure consciousness, first evolved the space. From space, air. From air, energy, fire. From fire, water. From water, earth. You see, amoeba, all these things you may say, it needs some substance. Water, earth. Prithibhyam oshadaya, from prithivi, from earth, first evolved. Oshadaya. Herbs, plants, trees, first evolution. Vegetable kingdom. Oshadibha annam, from this vegetation, from this thing came anna, food. Annat Purusha, from food evolved the Purusha, beings. This is the process of creation. You see, due to a Christian creation, comes out of nothing. God says, let there be light, there is light, let there be sun, there is sun. They came out of nothing. But Vedantic creation is a process. It comes from something, that something is Brahman, pure consciousness, Satchidananda. In yoga scripture, Patanjali also described the theory of evolution, how it happens. He says that here you want to bring water from the river. Here is your triangular plot of land. Here is my quadrangular plot of land. There is another octangular plot of land. When we are trying to bring that water from the river in through a tunnel, and when the water goes into your piece of land, it takes the same shape. triangular shape, in my rectangular shape. If different shapes are taken by the water according to the size, Patanjali says, water will gush in, only you will have to remove the barriers, you know, the obstacles. So human beings has infinite nature, that human being can evolve in a tremendous way if the obstructions are removed, impediments are removed. So that is the evolution. You know, we believe in evolution. That's how it happens. It is a continuous, we are evolving. But I read one funny thing. From evolution also, involution is possible. This thing, the Westerners, you know, they do not like to believe it. That when a person has become a human being, he cannot go back to animal being. But according to this theory of evolution, according to Vedanta, it is possible. Look, show me, what do you mean? You see, our nature is mixed. Karma is mixed. We have some good karma, we have some bad karmas, we have some mixed karmas. We have animal natures inside. Some human beings are worse than animals. Perhaps the person was a tiger in his previous life. This life he got a human life. He did some good, perhaps, Lord knows. So he got a human life through the process of evolution. The tiger nature is still working in his mind. That, you know, biting, hungry, you know, greedy, that nature is still working. Or snake nature, jealousy, that is a snake nature, it is working. It is working. Because in the evolution process, perhaps he became the first human being. Perhaps later on he found that this human body is insufficient to express his that tendency. So he may go back again to fulfill his that animal nature. Again he will go back to human nature. That is the way it may go in back and forth. There is a yogi. He had a disciple. And the disciple was very, very worldly. And, you know, he wanted to fulfill his worldly desires. And one day this yogi was passing through a forest and he saw a pig came and bowed down to the yogi. So he was telling his disciples, do you know who is that pig? He is my that disciple who complained about his worldly desires. He has taken now a pig body to fulfill his worldly desires. But I know he will be back very soon. Though he is a pig, but he remembers his previous life, what he was. And he immediately recognized me. I do not know. I read recently. Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittor ma amritam gamaya abir abir ma yadhi rudrayate dakshinam mukam tenamam pahi nityam om shanti shanti shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.